This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Rocking off a holiday birthday weekend for America. Welcome into the show. VSiN by the Books. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose. Mark Malusis in for Super Dave Ross this week. A lot of fun was had. The red, white, and blue showed out big time. Mark, I know you had a great barbecue you were at. Michelle and I just kind of played the chill card here with it being 100 degrees this entire week. So great to have you alongside. Is everyone recovered from the food coma and the libations now this morning?
Yeah, I think everyone, it is, I'll to be honest with you, like, I love the 4th of July, like, celebrating the great country that we live in, and we've got, you know, you've got baseball on in the background, we've got the World Cup going on, and there's nothing like having a grill on, whether it's a ribs, whether it be burgers, whether it be hot dogs, steaks, chicken, whatever it might be, it's just awesome. So sit back, relax. It was hot. There's no doubt about it. You know, kids are running around like they're like chicken was. I mean, it was crazy. But, you know, they maintained them. They had themselves a little bit of ice cream. We all had hot dogs, burgers, and all kind of the side and the accoutrements that come with a good July 4th barbecue. So fun weekend blast. We're all recovered, ready to go, getting ready for Team USA tonight.
Word of the day, accoutrement. We get that in early here on a Monday. Absolutely love it. Yes, it is match day in the Pacific Northwest. Monday night football between Team USA and Belgium. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
All the reinforcements are on their way. The cavalry was coming when it was 1776. Now we get it in 2026. A ruling in favor of the United States national team sees the suspension of Flo Balogun suspended so that he becomes eligible for tonight's round of 16 match against the Red Devils of Belgium. Mark, this was news that broke over the weekend. Not a ton of movement in the odds market. The United States still remain a $1.30 favorite to advance into the quarterfinals. Belgium, obviously up in arms and frustrated with the ruling, but they're going to have to put that to the side because they're about to get a crash course in the 12th man of the Pacific Northwest. Traditionally, Seattle Seahawks fans make Lumen Field an absolute home field advantage. I would expect the same fervor and energy when the red, white, and blue take the pitch tonight.
Yeah, can't wait. I mean, it really is. Can't wait for the pregame. For 2 hours, you get set, the buildup, and now Balogun's going to give it a go after, you know, everything that we saw. I think they came down shortly on a July 4th holiday weekend, shortly after noon Eastern time. Yesterday, the news broke that the red card was rescinded and he was going to be available to play. And I understand Belgium's upset, but, you know, there was great debate on whether or not a red card should have even been issued in that Bosnia-Herzegovina match where he missed the final 30 minutes of that match. We know his importance. I think 3 or 4 goals he's had so far throughout this World Cup. The United States men's team has been great. I mean, this has not been the story where in years gone by, it was Tim Howard making one save after another, and you're holding on for dear life, trying to get the penalties and going into a defensive shell. You know, they've dictated the style and tempo. They've got really, really classy young American players on the team that play internationally as well. We all know how big of a star Christian Pulisic is. So it's going to be fun. And, you know, this World Cup has hit. I mean, it really has, Jensen, throughout the course of it. I'm not the biggest soccer fan in the world. I'm not going to attest that. I'm watching La Liga or the, you know, English Premier League week in and week out. I might after this World Cup because it's been amazing action. It's been riveting, drama filled, relentless, kind of great moments. You feel the passion and the energy in each and every stadium. So it's been a blast, and I can't wait for this match to get going at 8 o'clock tonight.
Moose, we may get you on the Viking row after what we saw over the weekend.
I love the row. The row is amazing. I mean,
It's going to continue. Row the boat. No, that's it. We're not talking to, you know, the University of Minnesota. We're talking about Norway shocking Brazil behind a brace from Erling Haaland. They upset the Brazilians 2-1 as Norway will qualify now for the quarterfinal, as do the Three Lions of England. Down a man with a red card, they had to survive the final 30 to 35 minutes being a man down in one of the most hostile environments in international soccer. For only the third time in international play, Mexico ends up falling on their native soil. That is going to affect our futures plays that we currently have alive, and we were pretty positioned well headed into yesterday and even over the weekend. We still will be later on today. Update for those watching at FanDuel Sports Network, YouTube TV, Rogers Sportsnet, north of the border. If you are listening on Sirius Channel 158, thanks for making us a part of your morning as always. We have the Portugal full unit future alive. That will be put to the test against Spain at 3:00 Eastern. Winner of Portugal-Spain will take on the winner of the United States and Belgium later on. Both of our three-quarter unit plays are out with Brazil falling to Norway. We knew we were going to get one of those through with the head-to-head matchup, so the 30-1 future survives with the Norwegians. Mexico, by virtue of the defeat from England, they fall. They were 50-1. That's still the United States at 35-1. And Morocco, who will face France in the quarterfinal, they are alive at 60-1. We added, before some of these knockout round matches in the round of 32 here, Mark, we've got some cross-sport parlays that we were able to install. And now we're in pretty advantageous monetization position. Couple of the heavy favorites, we wanted to get into some better ROI. And so what I did was I took a couple of the shorter shots, Argentina and the Seattle Mariners to win the World Series. That gets me to a 56-1 future. Argentina, the heavy favorite to qualify against Egypt. They will play that match tomorrow at noon Eastern. France already through to the quarterfinals. We mentioned they will head to, they will actually be head-to-head against Morocco. I parlayed France with the Rays to win the World Series. That's now a 65-1 future. So in that match, we're either going to get Morocco at 60-1 through to the semis, or France at 65-1 through. Obviously the Rays would have to be the other leg that comes home there, but still you can kind of see our mentality here. Spain will take on Portugal today. I've parlayed them with the Phillies to win the World Series. That gets me to a 105-1 odd future. That will get through, or the Portugal plus 850 will survive. And then one we had a conversation about, and after last night, boy, it was a big sweat, but England qualify for the quarterfinal. They will take on Norway. We got England parlayed with the Brewers to win the World Series at almost 110-1. So either a 30-1 future for Norway, or the 110 future, or 110-1 future with England, the Brewers survive. You actually like one too, and you've already invested in England. You may double down with a crossbar parlay of your own.
Yeah, I'm going to go England and Phillies. I like the way that Philadelphia is trending. They're within three games of the National League East of the Atlanta Braves. I think they're going to be aggressive at the MLB trade deadline. I did have England before the World Cup started. I've reinvested as we've gone along here for the Three Lions, held on for dear life. And you would have thought I was basically English the way that I was rooting for them last night at Stadio Azteca down in Mexico City. But they held on for dear life and the Three Lions move on to the next round. So I was all fired up about that. But I love the creativity. And I think that's where you can. And I think it's a good kind of exercise to do, Jensen, that you went through to where you could look at things where maybe there are not that there's not advantageous odds, and you can improve those odds of teams that, are going to be right there, or one of the betting favorites to say win the World Cup, and you pair them off with a little bit of baseball. So I love those cross promotions. I really do, where you're hitting upon a couple different sports. And I liked how you laid it out there. Well done.
England and the Phillies parlayed together. So it's England to win the World Cup, Phillies to win the World Series, currently on DraftKings just south of 80-1. So again, we'll talk monetization opportunities and avenues, as Mark alluded to, not necessarily needing to get one of these home, but there are ways to extract some ROI out of that. We will explain once the quarterfinal round is basically set. And when Argentina as well as, Switzerland and Colombia finish their matches tomorrow. We'll revisit that on Wednesday as to what avenues we could potentially use, and you can follow along with us at home. Follow along with us on the Miami Marlins. Gave them out last week at 4-1 to make the postseason and took a shot on them at 35-1 to win the National League East. They just keep on winning, and we nearly had history mark yesterday in Sacramento. Yuri Perez, third start off the injured list, 7 perfect innings, was just a tad over 90 pitches. Obviously, erring on the side of caution here, Miami elected to remove him from the game. They lost the combined perfecto bid in the innings after, and they almost lost the game. They were up 8-0 when Yuri Perez came out. They end up winning 9-8 and survive. But more importantly, that's a sweep of the Athletics. The Miami Marlins are the hottest team in baseball since June 1st. And if the playoffs started today, Moose, they would be tied with the St. Louis Cardinals for the final wildcard spot in the National League. What a story this team has been in the first half of the regular season.
It really has been. And they've changed the course of the conversation down at South Beach because, you know, you're thinking about, well, if you're a contending team, who can you pick off at the MLB trade deadline? But they're changing that based on the play at on the field. I hate it. I mean, Jensen, you hit upon in the first hour. You've got a perfect game going, and I understand it's only his third start back, but that is, you have a chance to have a historical moment, not a no-hitter, a perfect game, and you take him out after 7 innings. I never pitched on the major league level, Jensen. You did. That would bother me because he may never have that opportunity again the rest of his career.
More to come on that. We'll have some thoughts, no question about it. A couple of other updates for you. In Wimbledon, we're getting into the quarterfinal rounds now, and a huge upset on the women's side. Naomi Osaka taking down world number one, Aryna Sabalenka. Choice comments from Sabalenka afterwards saying she needed to get away, have some libations, maybe get a little tipsy, and forget about what her tennis game looks like right now. She doesn't feel like she's world number one. We'll tell you that Jannik Sinner, after a scare in his first match of the tournament, looking very Sinner-esque right now. He and Novak Djokovic, the top two betting options, have moved on into the quarters. And yes, we got a golf future across the line, people. Chris Goddard, congrats if you tailed. Plus 1750, the winner. 9-under final round for the big boy. And he gets it done winning by one. So congratulations to all. We've got a division audit in the American League East next on VSiN by the Books.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
What a celebration it was, 250 years strong, the greatest nation in the world. The fireworks may have faded, but we're still celebrating here at VSiN, and you should too. Through tomorrow, $299 gets you 2 full years of VSiN Pro access. Again, that is nearly 70% off the regular monthly price. If you are a current Pro subscriber, you are eligible for this extension. We'll just add on those 2 calendar years to your expiration date currently. So again, VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $299. You get all the betting guides, you get all the AI powered prop projections, the 24/7 video, all the real time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. It is the best deal we offer. So again, VSiN.com/subscribe. Great to be alongside the Moose, Mark Melusis, this week as we rock and roll through where we are here in this final week of the regular season, at least in the first half. We began divisional audits last week, Mark, and we took a look through, and we will do the same into Friday's show, just kind of getting a sense of where we started and how it's going, as the kids say. Not going well for the New York Yankees here the last couple of weeks. They lose again yesterday and drop a series to the Minnesota Twins. at Yankee Stadium. Aaron Boone, their manager, some comments about where he believes the team is headed into a massive series against first place Tampa Bay starting tonight.
Hope so. Well, I mean, we got to play well against that team down there. That's obviously playing really well right now, and they're going back home to where they're very good. So I hope that in some way does raise our level again, because as I look at these guys, look at the names here, you know, forget obviously having some guys down right now, but we have guys capable of going out and doing really good things. We got to all be part of the solution, though. So hopefully that environment where we're playing up against a really good team that's playing well, hopefully in some way can spark us.
Losers of 9 of their last 10, Moose, and 4 games back of the Tampa Bay Rays, 4-game series beginning tonight at Tropicana Field. When you look at where they were at the beginning of the season before we started, obviously the shortest shot at plus $1.80 to win the AL East and a win total of 90.5. I don't think that was a surprise, even knowing that they went into the final day of the regular season last year with the Toronto Blue Jays head-to-head to try and win that division by virtue of the Blue Jays winning the season series tiebreaker. That gave them the final nod there on the final day of the regular season. Where we stand right now, and let me start the conversation with this current odds market in the AL East, because I think it is a captivating division for a couple of reasons. Number one, the Yankees still, by a slight margin, at minus $1.15, the favorite to win the American League East. The Rays have finally gotten into red figures, if you will. They're minus $1.05 with a projected win total currently of 90. Now, that would be nearly 13 games over their preseason win total of 76.5, and they were 25-1. They were the longest shot on the board to win the AL East headed into this year. Let me start with where that division odds market is. Is it right that the Yankees are still, by a slim margin, the favorite to win this division halfway through the year?
Yeah, I think it's probably right, because I just think there's this inherent trust in the Yankees. Now, it's right because of historical reasons. I don't think it's necessarily right based on the play that we've seen on the field. Like, and I don't love that messaging from Aaron Boone in the clip that we just played. The idea that they need a series against the Rays to spark the team, to get them to play better. I mean, you're a professional baseball player. I mean, you're getting paid a lot of money. I don't know if you necessarily need a series in July to all of a sudden light a fire under your team, but Yankees are a bad baseball team. I mean, if you've not been paying attention, and I mean, that's what they are right now. They, you know, they don't pitch particularly well. Back into the bullpen's not been great. They don't hit the ball over the fence. They're missing guys like Judge and Stan, but even the guys in the lineup, Goldschmidt starting to show his age. Ben Rice hit .202 in the month of June. I think Bellinger's average in the last 18 games is under .150. It's been really bad to go and go along with that. They don't hit with runners in scoring position. Oh, yeah. And by the way, they have a tendency to kick the ball all over the field. I think in the last 15 games, they've made 20 errors. I mean, so like that's just not sustainable. So you look at the Rays, and the Yankees have this unbelievable jealousy of the Tampa Bay Rays because they have a tendency to get a lot out of a little. Look at what Junior Caminero is doing. And what he's been able to do the last 3 weeks. He's one of the great young power hitters. I saw an analyst over the weekend saying that when Judge's time is done as being the elite level player, and I know he's banged up and hurt, Caminero is going to take that baton in the American League and be the guy that kind of carries the torch. And he's going to be that good for the Tampa Bay Rays here moving forward. So they've been really, really good. This is an important series, but going into the series, you have little to no confidence right now that the Yankees can all of a sudden find it, because they've looked really, really bad, Jensen. So I think when you look at the betting market, if it was not the Yankees, say it was the Toronto Blue Jays, for argument's sake, or the Baltimore Orioles that had the, you know, the belief before the start of the season and they were playing this poorly as the Yankees are, I think the Rays would probably be the betting favorite. I think the Yankees are still the favorite because of the brand that they are and the belief that Cashman and company are going to go out there and add at the MLB trade deadline, and they will get healthier. I mean, they'll get Judge back at some time, middle part of the month of August. Stanton will come back at some point. He's been out with that calf injury for the better part of 50 games here. They will get a little bit healthier. They'll get Freed back. The Rodon injury hurts one of the young relievers that they were, one of the young arms they were expecting, and Carlos Legrange to come up in on the major league level. They transitioned him to the bullpen down in Double A. He suffered a shoulder injury, so he was placed on the IL, and he was throwing the ball 102, 103 miles an hour. So when it rains, it pours, as they say, and right now it is absolutely pouring in the Bronx.
And actually, DraftKings has the Rays currently as that minus $1.15 favorite to win the American League East. So again, shop around wherever you'd like. But still, big one, a four-game series getting underway tonight at Tropicana Field. Rarely do we see this, too, that the Yankees, a slight dog with Cam Schlittler on the mound. They just $1.02 on the money line. Griffin Jacks takes the ball for the Rays, minus $1.18. First of four, as we mentioned, the Yankees as an offense have hit just .221 in the 31 games that they have not had Aaron Judge, averaging just 4.5 runs per game, but they are 14-17 in those 31 contests. Farther down the board, and we'll talk some Tampa Bay Rays here too, just in a moment. Do we have any faith in where the Blue Jays are? Speaking of offensive woes, this is a club that John Schneider has had all kinds of problems. They are second to last in scoring at 29th. They are 24th in home runs. And my God, does this American League pennant winning team look like a shell of themselves, both offensively and in the rotation? Back in the bullpen with Louis Varland has been good. Jeff Hoffman in spurts has been awesome. But this has been a far cry from what we watched, Mark, at their run. Now, they were a second half team last year. They did sputter in the first half. Any interest in backing them before we talk a little Tampa Bay Rays here?
Not really. I mean, honestly, I think it's a two horse race in the American League East. I think the Rays deserve all the credit in the world. It's hard. And you hit upon it. The only argument would be is that they showed a year ago they were a second half team, and maybe it has been really bad. It can't be this bad. Like, you sit there as a veteran and say, well, it can't be this bad all season long. At some point in time, it's got to be a little bit better for the Toronto Blue Jays. Outside of that, there's nothing that would lead you to believe thinking that a team that's sitting there, you know, six games, you know, right now they're 42-48 on the season. When you look at the Toronto Blue Jays, that all of a sudden they're going to have this miraculous second half based on everything we've seen up until this point in time.
The Tampa Bay Rays believe, and I'll double check, have yet to lose a home game this year, Moose, against an American League East opponent. And that is the task ahead of the New York Yankees tonight, is to try and at least get one, if not a couple, to split the series against the Tampa Bay Rays. Tampa finishes the first half with a long homestand against who I would believe, Mark, are there two chief rivals in an American League postseason matchup. It's four against the Yankees and then three against the Seattle Mariners. The Rays have an actually pretty favorable start to the second half as well. They'll go to Fenway Park to take on the Red Sox, who have actually caught a little bit of fire here, but I still think are going to be sellers at the trade deadline. And then they'll take on the Toronto Blue Jays for four north of the border before coming home for one of their longest homestands of the year. Three against Cleveland, three against Texas, three against the White Sox. Can you buy the Rays long term? And in the futures market, would you want to invest in them even at a 15-1 World Series price, if nothing more than to have a monetization opportunity should they reach the Fall Classic?
Yes, because honestly, the complexion of the American League is not particularly good. Like, I'd rather invest in the Rays than I would rather than Seattle or the Chicago White Sox or the Cleveland Guardians. I mean, they're hitting .259 as a team, which is leading the American League. I think they're third in the American League in team ERA. They are 31-12 at home this year. I mean, that is ridiculously dominant when you're looking at the Tampa Bay Rays. Whatever you thought of them before the season, think differently now, because they are a damn good baseball team.
Most home wins in Major League Baseball at this point. They'll look to add on against the Yanks tonight. Speaking of Yanks, we got the red, white, and blue looking for their biggest home win. Team USA in the preview against Belgium up next on VSiN by the Book.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Football season getting close, people, and we've got $30 million in guaranteed prizes for our three Circus Sports contests. You can enter starting at $1,000 for those entry fees. No rake. Every dollar stays in the prize pool. Circa Million, 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Circa Survivor, just pick one winner each week. The last one winning, the last one standing wins. And of course, Circa Grandissimo for you high rollers out there. $100,000 entry. You have to do it in person in Nevada, and then you can play from anywhere. $30 million guaranteed. Just visit circasports.com for details. Some breaking news into VSiN by the books. Mark, reports have surfaced that apparently FIFA has granted Belgium the right to appeal against the decision to suspend the one-game ban handed down to United States men's national team star Flo Balogun. That is where we will start today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
All right, you knew they weren't going down without a fight, whether it be on or off the pitch. And so the Red Devils, apparently their federation, was given until 8 a.m. Eastern time, and reports have surfaced, Mark, that indeed they are going to appeal the suspension of the one-game ban for Flo Balogun less than 24 hours before the team's round of 16 match later on tonight. The Belgian Federation saying it was, quote, astonished by FIFA's decision to suspend the ban for a period of 1 year, and the Royal Belgian Football Association, or RBFA for you scoring at home, responding that the move was in, quote, direct contradiction of the competition regulations, and said it is exploring, quote, all potential options. So I would assume you're not making all this kerfuffle without submitting that appeal. We will see later on today if that appeal is indeed upheld or reversed. So again, let's get more to macro here. We got a match tonight. It's the biggest one on the board, at least in our eyes. We've got USA Belgium, still around $1.30 for the United States to qualify for the quarterfinal. Hadn't really seen too much odds movement whatsoever beyond when the news surfaced. If you do want to dabble in the 90-minute regulation money line or the three-way line, the United States plus $1.50, Belgium plus $1.80, and the draw as plus $2.40. I'll be honest, Mark, I am intrigued after what we saw last night from the Mexico-England match at the Azteca and just the decided home field advantage for Mexico. Do we get the same there up in the Pacific Northwest at Lumen Field in your eyes for all the red, white, and blue that you would assume will be filing in there to give Team USA all the help it needs?
I think it's going to be similar in nature. I mean, last night was bonkers. I mean, it really was down in Stadio Azteca. I mean, with the rain, the delay, everything that comes along with it. I mean, you could just, you know, it's one of those atmospheres, Jensen, as a huge sports fan, you wish you could kind of teleport yourself down to Mexico City to be able to kind of feel that atmosphere. That's how special it was down in Stadium Azteca. But I think it's going to be really good tonight. I really do. I think this United States team deserves all the love and the support they're getting by the style and fashion in which they've played. It's the best version of the men's national team that I've ever seen in my lifetime. You know, I think they've made soccer fans all across this great country. World Cup has been spectacular. You know, I'd be intrigued in the United States when you mentioned that three-way line, the United States at plus $1.50. I think you could even see this match go into extra time when we maybe get a draw after 90 minutes where you're getting plus $2.40, especially when you see a lot of these things. And sometimes it's intriguing where you're watching a match. You know, sometimes these teams go into these shells. I'm not talking about parking the bus when you're down a man and playing defensive soccer, as we saw from England last night, which we saw from the United States against Bosnia-Herzegovina. But things tighten up. The pressure is real on these soccer players, especially late. Nobody wants to make the critical mistake. They play a lot more conservative, a lot more reserved. I would not be all that surprised if tonight up in Seattle that you get a more low scoring affair and we end up in a draw after 90 minutes and this one goes to extra time.
Moose, you went right where I was going. An incredible value in my eyes at the draw price of plus 240. I think that's great. I could even look at people wanting to dabble in a both teams to score market. If you do play an over, I would shop around because various books do grade those wagers differently. Some distinctly say that that over or under the total is only for the 90 minutes plus stoppage time, not including extra time. So I would be actually interested in an over, and I think you're kind of going in the same route that I was thinking. Draw in the 90 minutes, and then maybe a side is able to score in the extra time before we get to penalties. I could certainly see that playing out. But remember, please double check before you play a total that the sportsbook grades it including extra time versus only the 90 minutes in stoppage time. That is very key, and I tend to agree with you, Moose. I think this is very tight, as our friends across the pond say, cagey affair between these two sides, and you have to believe that the Red Devils are going to be emboldened, regardless of where this appeal process comes, as Flo Balogun right now currently eligible to participate in tonight's match. A couple of other ideas to throw at you. We've got a behemoth of next-door neighbors between Portugal and Spain. That is the first match of the day. Winner of that match plays the winner of the United States and Belgium in the quarterfinal. It has been a defensive masterclass for Spain. La Roja have been absolutely unbelievable and defensively solid, and they have yet to get a marquee performance from their stud, Lamine Yamal. I got to believe that today is the day. And then on the flip side, is this the final act for Cristiano Ronaldo, who did come out and say this World Cup would be his last? Will the Portuguese side have just a bit more of a motivation to continue this run for the last dance of Cristiano Ronaldo? As they say, it's the Iberian Derby. Here, Moose, between Portugal and Spain, I would tend to want to kind of look at Spain in the 90-minute money line. Right now, that price available at $1.10. Portugal on the comeback there in the 90-minute side, almost 3-1. The draw is plus 265. I would be looking at Spain money line. I would look at the over 2.5, just knowing that I believe both sides will send numbers forward. Spain is going to press high. They will be a high possession side too. That could cause some issues for Portugal. I think it'll be a very high quality match. Any leans or any feel for you? I know we'll have watchful eyes on it, just as United States fans wanting to know already before our match kicks off who the potential opponent will be. Any feel for you on that first match of the day?
Yeah, I would lean Spain. I mean, Jensen, you went through it pretty well, very well. I have not seen Portugal play a match up until this point in time in the World Cup where I think they could be on the level of Spain. That's the issue you have when you're looking at. Now, it's a great story. It's going to be Ronaldo's last run, international play, representing, and we all understand how brilliant of a star and how great of a soccer player Cristiano Ronaldo has been. And Portugal came into this World Cup with a lot of expectations. They just have not played particularly well. And, you know, could it change this afternoon against Spain? Yeah. I mean, it could change. Could we have a kind of magic carpet ride that we saw 4 years ago with Messi and Argentina? I think a lot of people were expecting that or hoping that for Portugal. But I think if we're going to brace it based on what we have seen up until this point in time, I think in 90 minutes, you feel more comfortable backing Spain than you do Portugal. I agree with you in terms of your assessment. Just like I kind of lean low scoring between Belgium and the United States, I lean more high scoring between Spain and Portugal. I do think it's two teams that are going to want to play a little bit more up tempo. You mentioned in terms of the possession and the high pressure and everything that comes along with it. I think you'll see some of the stars on display. I think it'll be an entertaining match, I think, but that will go Spain's way in the end.
Yeah, if you want to dabble in the anytime goal scorer market, on DraftKings, it does include the extra time. Lamine Yamal at plus $1.60, same odds as Cristiano Ronaldo for that first match. And then in the United States match, we have Flo Balogun, who is at plus $1.40. Romelu Lukaku is actually the shortest shot at plus $1.25 for the Red Devils. Christian Pulisic, plus $1.70 for the United States. And then Kevin De Bruyne, almost 3-1 to score a goal there. So very interested, but I'm with you. I think this United States match tonight is tight.
Regardless if Balogun is in there or not, I think you will have some tense moments early, and you would feel that with the elite individual players there with De Bruyne and Lukaku for Belgium, it can be open. It can be competitive. We'll have the home support. The red, white, and blue will be out in force. And the 12th man, you've done it so well for the Seahawks. Stand up and be united for our boys there tonight to make it a home field advantage. Really excited to get Will Hill's thoughts on what he thinks, not only tonight, but around the baseball landscape. Final week of the first half of the regular season. What does the King of Connecticut see in his crystal ball? He joins us next, right here on VSiN by the Books. Monday edition of VSiN by the Books. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose. Mark Maluza in for Super Dave Ross this week. Always a pleasure on a Monday to catch up with one of our favorites on the network, host of the Should Have Bet More podcast. You see him all around the network on VSiN primetime over the weekend, and joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. The King of Connecticut, Will Hill, joins the show. Brother, great to have you as always. I know we got a boatload of baseball to talk about here, and perfect to have two Yankee fans that need a little vent session. I hope to be your therapist here and provide you some help. Let me get a thought from you on the big match tonight, the Pacific Northwest round of 16 between the United States and Belgium. We just found out that there was a report Belgium have filed an appeal with FIFA to try and overturn the suspension of the red card for Flo Balogun. You like the draw tonight. Mark and I just talked about it feels cagey tonight, and we feel like we could see some extra time. Is that where your thought process is?
Yeah, and good to be with you guys. It feels draw-y. It does feel like, and look, I'm not a soccer expert. Don't pretend to be, but you know, you talk to, I don't know, all these people, whether it's hosting my podcast, hosting on VSiN, just people, you know, friends and through text messages, and just ask who you like. And a lot of people say, oh, it's so close. Some people say US. The other people say, oh, it's so close, but I like Belgium. I'll take a shot on the draw, you know, 1-1 type of game. I think if your instinct in these games that are elimination games is draw and under, I think that's probably a good one, and you're getting a nice payout, a nice plus price there, plus 230 or so. And I think we've gone like five matches now without draws. And Mark and I were on the air Friday night for the last draw, Argentina Cape Verde, which was just one of the matches of the tournament, one of the best soccer games you're ever going to see. But if you just bet nothing but draws in this tournament, you're doing very well. So maybe you're due for another one here after five non-draws. But everyone seems to think dead even match. I can't wait for it. I didn't think a month ago when we started, I thought, you know what, the World Cup, it'll be good to get us through the summer, but I'll watch it when it's on. I'll bet it, but I'm not like super into it. I can't wait for this. I'm sure the rating, the handle, all is going to be through the roof. And if they ever won, if the U.S. ever wins tonight, Friday at 3 o'clock, man, the excitement for that one is going to be off the charts. But I'm going to go with draw here plus 230.
Yeah, and if they do get through tonight, they'd meet the winner of Spain and Portugal, the earlier match on this Monday afternoon. Will, you, Jensen, and I were talking a little bit during the course of the break about the Yankees. They have a big series that gets going tonight down in Tampa against the Rays. Complexion of the American League East, and is the concern level so high on the Yankees right now that you think there's a chance they could miss the playoffs altogether in the American League?
Yeah, I Chris the Bear Felica on my podcast, and we're just talking this through in the Yankee slump, and you know, what would you do with the deadline? And he brought up Yankees to miss the playoffs, and we were just kind of doing it live on air, and I was like, oh, what do you think the price is? He's probably, and he said, man, if it's like 5-6-1, I would think about it. 7-1, that'd be great. And we both looked, and we were both kind of surprised. 13-1 for them to miss. Now, granted, they've got a 7-game cushion. We've all talked all year about how watered down the American League is. Yankees have the best run differential by far. They're probably going to make the playoffs. That bet would probably lose, but at 13-1, you know what? They're an injury or two away from being in dire straits, because at some point, all right, you're down Judge. You can get around that, but Stan and Fried and Rodon and LaRange are the kid in the minors who throws 102 that they thought was going to help them. He's out for the foreseeable future, and you're starting to get to the point of the season where it's late enough where these pitchers, you know, shoulder soreness, elbow inflammation, if you get hurt now with being sidelined for 6 weeks, 2 months, you're basically done for the year. If not, you know, coming back at the very tail end of the year. So again, I think they'll probably make it, but at 13 to one, you know what? They better have a good week, because this is slipping away in the AL East, and I've been pretty confident they're going to win it in terms of the division. But you know what? They don't play well in that ballpark. They are five back in the loss column now. You can start to put yourself in a position where there's just, look, there's still time left, but you're really digging yourself a hole if you go any farther. But as far as this game tonight, Caminero, Junior Caminero to draw a walk is plus 191 at DraftKings. Shop around, maybe you can find a little better, and he is a free swinger. But man, why would you continue to pitch to this guy? What is 11 homers in 12 games now? He has just been absolutely, you know, Bonds-like, Judge-like. At some point, you got to give him the Bonds and the Judge treatment. So I think him to walk at almost 2-1 is a good bet. Got home late yesterday. I think that's one where you have to go into this game and think, you know what, from a scouting report perspective, let's have somebody else beat us. We can't just have this guy, you know, hit the ball 450 feet and jog around the base. I think you have to pitch accordingly here, and him to draw a walk might be a good bet going forward.
I gave him out at 20-1 last week for AL MVP, down to 6-1, trailing just Nick Kurtz at 4-1. Yordan Alvarez, odds on right now at minus $1.60, but will Yordan Alvarez be a member of the Houston Astros or in the American League, period, by the time we get there after the trade deadline? You mentioned this game tonight, and I'll circle around a couple other ones with you. Not often we see the Yankees as almost even money with Cam Schlittler on the mound, but that kind of gives you an idea of how dominant the Rays have been. The Rays have yet to lose a game against an American League East opponent this year at Tropicana Field. So file that one away if you're going a little Griffin Jacks and the Rays on the money line later on tonight. Mark brought up a great point. We're talking a little World Cup soccer. I've got a couple of cross-sport future parlays, one involving England and the Milwaukee Brewers. But Mark said, hey, might want to double down on the Three Lions and the Philadelphia Phillies, and they will finish their series. An awkward scheduling spot here because of the World Cup match there at Arrowhead, having to force an off day. They will finish up their three-game set later on this afternoon. It is Christopher Sanchez getting the ball here for Philly. They have a chance to win the series. You love playing these first five unders and even some first three unders. Where are we going at for series finale with the Phillies and the Royals this afternoon?
Yeah, I was wondering why we had, and I'm one that is very interested in the schedule, and I always complained about the schedule. Yesterday was fun, the way they staggered the games. I didn't love the games being on Peacock, but I thought it was fun how they staggered it. I was wondering why we got a Monday afternoon game, but I'm not going to complain. I feel like we should have more weekday games. Put baseball on. Let us watch it. Let us bet it. But I'm going first five under 4.5. We know how great Christopher Sanchez has been. He's going for the Phillies. Outside of Mizorowski, he's been about as dominant as anyone in the sport. Noah Cameron going for Kansas City. He's been up and down, a couple shaky starts his last times out, both against the Rays. Before that, he had 6 or 7 starts in a row where he was really starting to turn a corner. So I'm going to go under 4.5, though, because Philly, 25th in the league, OPS against lefties. Sanchez has been really good. Kind of a getaway day. You know this, Jens is a former big leaguer. Sometimes you get some less competitive at-bats on those getaway days, those travel days.
Yes.
It's, you know what, you get up there and you get swing first, second pitch, and we got somewhere to be. So hopefully we get one of those, and I'll go under 4.5 in the first five here. I think it's a well-pitched game, at least early on.
You know, what about later on tonight, Chavez Ravine, opposite sides of success, Colorado in town to take on the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are just one victory away from 60 wins on the season so far. Anything, Will, between Colorado and LA?
I'll go over the 10 here. Eric Lauer going for the Dodgers. Kyle Freeland going for the Rockies. A couple of soft-tossing lefties. Not too many fastballs these days, guys, where the guys are throwing 89, 90 miles an hour. Both these guys average around 90 with the fastball, and there's a lot of hard contact in both profiles, both expected ERAs in the 5.5 range, both a lot of barrels. So I think you're going to see some offense here. Dodgers number one in league in OPS. You probably expect that, not a surprise. Colorado's number three. And some of that's playing at Coors, but Colorado could swing the bats here. Colorado, pretty good offensively. Both have good numbers against lefties. Both teams do. So I'll go over the 10. I think Lauer gets hit a little bit. Dodgers will get their runs off Freeland. So the 10, to me, is a playable number here to the over.
I know we will get to visit with you on Derby Day next week before we have the Home Run Derby in Philadelphia. We do have one commitment in Junior Caminero already. First time I've been able to ask you, and we'll revisit it again next week when Dave's back. I would assume you're a fan of getting away from the shot clock, if you will, having the timed rounds and now going back to outs. Will that affect your handicap? We'll dive much more into it when we know what the official field is. But I was thinking of you and knowing where the value may now shift, knowing guys won't have to deal so much with the clock fatigue, but can be a little more strategic with their swings.
I'm still a little sore after last year. I had 100-1 on Rooker to beat Caminero in the final. And Rooker lost by literally like an inch, supposedly, to Rowley. Remember on that measurement? That's one of the worst beats I've ever had.
Yes.
But yeah, it was too chaotic in the old way. It was too chaotic with the shot clock because they would throw one pitch, guy would hit it a mile, and then before the ball would land or we could see where it go, they're throwing another pitch. And from a viewer standpoint, it was just too frenetic. You wouldn't see where the ball would land.
Yeah.
The fun of the Derby is, you know what, McGuire at Fenway, they throw the pitch, McGuire hits it a mile, and we all watch it and ooh and on about how far it went. When you're just racing to see the next pitch and you're not even sure if the previous pitch is a home run, there was too much at once. Now it's too long and it gets too dragged out. I get that, but I think this is a good thing here going back to the outs.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm sure you guys as Yankee fans remember, I mean, the show that Josh Hamilton put on at Yankee Stadium, it's still one of the great and surreal things. Was it Justin Morneau who I think won that Derby, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, Morneau beat him. Yes.
Man, oh, man. We will obviously get a full breakdown with you next Monday. Hang tight with the Yanks. Your boy Cashman's going to make some moves. It'll be fine. I need him to. Sure. I got my 287-1 all New York future parlay that I need to get at least some monetization opportunity as well. Will Hill, Should Have Bet More podcast host. Make sure you like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Daily Diamond, some other games and some all-stars to look at next on VSiN by the Books.